Welcome to the Chapel Podcast from Start College and Seminary. This semester, our chapel theme is the business of the church, preaching Jesus and practicing justice. We invite you to listen in as pastors and leaders consider how God has called us all to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with Him. Our featured speaker this week is Reverend Jose Aguilar, pastor of First Baptist Church Huesteco Español. His message is entitled, Preaching Jesus During the Pandemic.
Good morning. So glad to be here with you at the Start College and Seminary Chapel. Been sitting right there where you guys are right now for a very long time, a long time ago. Just kidding, because you guys are probably watching this from your homes because of the pandemic. But nonetheless, I know exactly what you're going through, as I have a near and dear spot in my heart for SCS. I am a graduate of SCS. I did both my bachelor's and master's programs right here in McAllen and in Corpus Christi. And right now I'm at First Baptist Church, sitting in the exact same spot where about 20 years ago, my wife and I were waiting for service to start. She was flipping through the bulletin, noticed that there was an announcement for Sunday school teachers for the high school level. She points at me, elbows me in the ribs, and says, hey, they're needing some help. And the rest, as we say it, is history. And I tell everybody, that's my calling into the ministry. That same Sunday morning at the time of invitation, I stepped forward and spoke with the pastor at the time, told him I was interested in helping out with Sunday school. I met with the church leadership, and for the next few months, I went through some training and some observations before I was able to begin teaching Sunday school on my own. That, like I said, was about 20 years ago. I've been on staff right here at First Baptist Church Westlake for the last 12 years. And I'm so glad to be doing what it is that I am doing, serving the Lord full time. Today's text comes from the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, where the word of the Lord reads as such. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for our opportunities that we have to come together to share your word. Father, bless this time together. Bless those who are watching. And always, may they continue to seek you first in all things. And again, bless SCS as they continue to train and prepare pastors for the service that you have called them to do. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. This passage that we just read this morning is the beginning of Jesus' Galilean ministry. Jesus is coming out of his temptation scene with the devil. And we believe that there's a little bit of time that has elapsed from the temptation to his Galilean ministry. John records a time of Jesus being in Judea early on in his ministry, but the synoptic gospels do not include this. Alfred Eicherman tells us this in his book, The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah. He makes a very strong case that Jesus' ministry began in the year of Jubilee. Jesus' public ministry began the year of celebration, the year of liberation, when all debts would be canceled and all slaves would be set free. So if this is the case, Jesus' message would be especially fitting and especially timely, because he was just about to set the people free. If you've been reading anything in leadership or anything in management, you know that there's this common theme when it comes to leadership. There's this thing about a mission statement. They all want you to have a mission statement, a concise description of your vision and or your mission. And I believe that we find Jesus's mission statement in this message that he preaches here in the synagogue in Nazareth. And I want to reread our passage, but this time I want to read it from The Message, the paraphrased version written by Eugene Peterson. Luke 4, 18 and 19 in The Message.
God's Spirit is on me. He's chosen me to preach the message of good news to the poor, sent me to announce pardon to prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the burdened and the battered free, to announce this is God's year to act.
Jesus declares that one of the several aspects of his mission is to preach the good news to the poor. And in doing so, he echoes Isaiah's theme of good news about restoration and deliverance of God's people. You see, Jesus is quoting the prophet Isaiah here in this passage today. And he caught these people off guard. Because it's quite possible that these people that are sitting there are people from right from his hometown. And they were probably thinking, there's got to be better candidates than this guy to be Messiah of our world. You see, these people knew Jesus well. They watched him grow up. And of course, these people were never saying these things about Jesus. You know, now there goes a very spiritual young man. No, they never said that. Because in all actuality, they wanted to kill him. And believe you me, if you believed that he was the Messiah, you would not be wanting to kill him. Jesus not only models his mission, but he also models the mission of the church. And as disciples of Jesus, we are an extension of Jesus' mission. We are an extension of his mission in this world today. And we are called to be just like him. He is light, and we are called to be little beams and reflections of him right here on earth. Jesus' message in the Nazarene synagogue that we read here in Luke chapter 4 offers us a very stark warning today. The Spirit has empowered us to cross cultural lines, to cross barriers with this message that Jesus has entrusted us with. This message of hope, this message of justice, this message of liberation, this message of salvation. And in order to do so effectively, we must be ready to go beyond the assumptions of our own nation and to go beyond our own culture and to side with whatever God declares in his word. You see, Jesus wants to bring followers into unity with one another beyond all ethnic, nationalistic, and other prejudices. And our calling is to continue to carry on the mission of bringing the good news about God's kingdom and caring for God's people. You see, right here in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, Jesus gives us our mission. Jesus came with the good news to the poor, specifically to release the captives, recovery of the sight to the blind, and to liberate the oppressed. You see, we can easily misrepresent this mission by just sitting back and thinking that we are following Jesus, but yet feel no compassion, take no action on behalf of the people who are materially poverty-stricken and hungry. As we have seen and continue to see today during this time of this pandemic with so many people out of work. Because when we sit back and take no action for those who are physically afflicted with diseases like blindness, and like we are seeing today, people suffering with loneliness, with depression, when we fail to do that, we are not living out the mission Jesus has entrusted us with. We must be a church that does not make these kind of mistakes. We must feel compassion for all who are suffering. In an article that I just read, printed on October the 15th, 2020, the Texas Baptist website wrote about the Baptist Student Ministry right in our own backyard, the Baptist Student Ministry of the University of Texas, Rio Grande Valley. The article included these words. At the beginning of 2020, the BSM entered into a partnership with the University of Texas Rio Grande Valley to help meet the nutritional needs of students. Robert Varela, director of the UTRGV BSM, shared that only God knew how important the relationship would be once the pandemic hit and the scarcity of food and that resources for students would be impacted far greater than anyone imagined. Since the pandemic hit, more than 12,000 students have received food through the BSM. I have seen and heard many upon many of stories such as this during the time of this pandemic. Stories of people and of churches stepping up to meet the needs of those who have been hit the hardest. You know, it's true that when a person becomes a follower of Jesus, his life changes. But it's also true the way we win people to Christ is doing the great things that he has sent us to do. A person who chooses to follow Jesus without a life of radical commitment to the things that Jesus stood for will only produce converts, will only produce people who are carbon copies of our fallen culture. When we proclaim the good news of Jesus, his presence is here and it is now. The availability of a relationship with him, the release of the bondage of sin, and the promise that one day he will make all things right for those who believe and remind folks that he will return, it still provokes people. It is a reason that we should expect a little pushback when we try to share our faith, because it challenges the people of the world that we live in. It's an alternative lifestyle to the ones who live outside of our doors. You see, Jesus came to set the captives free. He came to liberate the oppressed. Now, Jesus didn't literally break people out of jail, although John the Baptist probably would have liked that. Jesus certainly freed those who were oppressed by the evil one. Likewise, in line with Isaiah's prophecy, Jesus came to heal the blind, just like the blind man that we see on the road of Jericho. And indeed, later on, he healed Saul, who we now know as Paul, of both physical and spiritual blindness. Specifically, to follow Jesus, we should be mobilized to help people be released from the captivity of alcohol, of drugs, of pornography, of homosexuality, of gluttony, and the list goes on and on and on and on. We've heard terms such as this, the quarantine 15. We've also read and heard reports of physical and verbal abuse of children and of spouses. And we also have seen an uptick, an increase of pornography viewing during this time of the pandemic. And it ought to grieve us when our brothers and sisters are held captive by the evil one. Tom Rainer, who's the president of Church Answers, has been sharing this thought throughout his podcast over the last several months. And I'm not going to quote him verbatim, but he says something like this. As we move forward, let's think out of the box. We've got a clean template as we've never been in this situation before. And if there's anything that you've been praying about doing differently, now is the time to try. You see, when the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, and when he anoints us to share in the ministry of Jesus, we will pray and we will speak and we will work for the release of the captives, for the recovery of sight for the blind, and to liberate those who are oppressed. But we got to remember this, that apart from him, we can do nothing. So let's never think that we've got it all together or that we have all the answers or that we can do it on our very own, because we simply just cannot. About 2,000 years ago, God sent his son to this earth to be born in a lowly manger. He would grow up, he would become a man, and he would teach his father's truth. He would then be nailed to a cross, just like a common criminal. But this was all part of the Father's grand plan to redeem humanity from sin and from death. The life of Jesus is a perfect model to pattern for your life in order to walk daily in the anointing so that God's perfect destiny for your life will be accomplished. So let's go out, preach the good news to the poor, because he has sent us to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind and to free the oppressed. Amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Chapel Podcast from Stark College and Seminary. Stark College and Seminary prepares men and women to serve in the church and community all across South Texas, with teaching locations in Corpus Christi, McAllen, Victoria, and San Antonio. To learn more about us, you can visit stark.edu or find us on social media at Stark College.